Jakobom ešte v dnrách eskone v Tumovéu.
Che man non c'è non ha to suo scoschie o calvari. Per te de ga hen suo smari post. Vede frucro u sriere ge gatte chastes. Per ogni acere come so che inisce. E gianne va che hen va. U smosani ge vianne ci gosche la gugne. Tolo scottero as, son in edek, son uomo. Aste go vas. Nu sjöre sin kapaskele tu var solen, nu sin kapäckke sin ha hoog var sa haar. Det vi kudas nöjet kriöste. Så vi kjöre gojene, ni kjent pad lava ka häcka. Ach hon var fem och så hon var sky. Jag är gras för vi annars, det är en hjörtes. Gud ikka kachungnacken. Men vad är så jons i pärs, vad går åktes. Jons i, det sålde sig kännak till jas. Gleisin ég turist nið bæði. Það er sinni ég við hann eftir búiðsjók við tóðið sjákran. Það er hann aðtað sjákran að hægja sjó. Það er stúst að búið hljóð mæn. Þú veist að húlið er treyð. Þú veist að sig að það vanlega gert þú heginn en þú annað við þig almar íbúst. Þú veist getur ég reik senn kjastis að stjænja. Það er vanlega við ég grásvar. Nachro nach elang purin nishene gala slime va khufene va haro rehe ya etliye halveri mere va ede etliye varia humus kebe ede be suus mari post hunu vacht de abraham huve reheshene viam haro rehe etliye halveri Och sen gav jag henne till gemgäsi. Det blev ett ibruksås. Hon planade ut sin gunja. Att det var något du kan få i ett ögon och spas. Det blev en rejäl och suhund och suhund. Och så gärts han och skjuter sig då och sa hon. Han skjuter på maden. Så han gör det och sagt att han gör det sen. Det blev faset och rejäk sig hamnar. Det blev rejäk och namn till Sarakas. Gebuschiet op hoe je daar ritte, aan de kriegen, drieën, aan de kriegen doen. Dus ik ga het jolens persen, de eerste kriegste, maar het slaan je feen. Zijn een jur tussen je vijandje, de kachnach genicht, de netulis de pers. Gebuatakket zijn, nu een zoes, de heet een feen. Zijn jur tussen je, nacht bij hun het gauw. Maar het toch zich bijna een huligat jongen. Je was verder wil toch laag zich er aan de henne weer te lachten met een keten. Ze begon gehoogd aan. Je was een treed. Ze hebben toen een counter heet gemak. Als een maasig geschaal. Ik had gast me. Ze had die jongen zich graag. Gast je nu ze woog ik te lang is. Mae rhaid i gef i annes ti gwybod ffas y dyr eich na'r misg ni sio. Ywys gach gegel ydi o gwrsdias dy fi gydawnt gwleir. Ie gros fawr fi annes ti se a nir ydys gwybod dwi hyn le bwy eich gwb y tosga. Yta bwy eich crwch, crwys chdiach yn gwn. Sa dy ffosg fwy gwyllt. Sa dy fe'n iol ys person dos. Dy hi fi ysgach dachis dy hol os mae'r gyd. I sag ikke, at jeg ville være sur i bjøs, at jeg ville være tætlig, at jeg ville ikke nå her i øse kriøste fide. Jeg vil gøre det, at jeg var slag, vi gør vi an ikke. Vi an ikke hedder, at jeg kunne du var sær kjøn. Vi an ikke, når jeg ikke er jøvå, du er smer hjerke det høyene. Når jeg var mærk, når jeg ikke stjæk. Jeg var sinne tre av noen inne, kommer så til laver, og høyde kjær. Nu ska jag hela visa tåga där kajerna. Det blir ju en gång misstnö för mig i gaterna. Sen heter jag till gachi, jag har det en fin. Ska ni skida nach kaffén. Det blir att det misstnö för mig hur. Men ni kan nog hålla att man är det. Nu ska man inte bo till rejäk kajerna fast. När misstnö så gör man sig i mullar vid dagen. Men man är det vissa nafolkar som skrivs på något. Så hade jag varit. Han blir sånne när jag the cheese, the gave you on the to be a maladu. It was very guy for sugar sea, you got the hot tunge, this cool gossip of quash. Give a line that could give a tea, go soon like tain. Give a nashara touch of her, now be the goo. Come to the show us lines, but when you look which in this, we will see at the nail, you can see us a lap, we can, us can you suck it. Cymariaf at ydw'r, ni gen y ced o'r ochr opach, ac ysdyn y dws y sylwedd y glawn gaif. Os yna na'ch bu i sachgyd cym, y gos at sy'n y gwyth tosioch, a wrth y drawr o'ch y dweud y sli yn eich anu gaf, sy'n cym ond yn eich lat iolwch. Y mal ydw i'n sy'n neud i brôn sy'n ymdre, ffaddo fach na behes na gdiwch. Y bar sy'n y dwl sy'n pwch sy'n ffaddo fach. A diolch gyda sy'n dod i stoi, a chas i'n gadw fol o'r gyf i anet. Mae chwyd sa dain o'r stein, os nes i chi'n ach. Gw gwyd sy'n solos, nes gywn di chi, nes i chi'n ach. Cwn i'n sgwt i llyn ma hos, gaf i ddidd ar y swas lain. Gyda dwi'n gwyn ma hon ysgwsŵr ysgach ni hew rheithgyn mal iddi. Na chas coddeiddi dy hors dy rwm. Sy'n hwyl sy'n i gyrus yn ysgar slan i.
Sing again to God's praise, this time from Mission Praise 52. Mission Praise number 52. God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Saviour lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow and so on. We sing this whole hymn to God's praise. If you could turn now, please, in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. Some of the commentators describe this chapter as Joshua's last speech. It was customary in these times when someone was coming to the end of their life and they knew it. They would address the people that they love, their family, those who were close with them. And Joshua, he addresses not only his blood family, but he addresses the people that he'd been close with and leading over these years. So this is what is described by many as Joshua's final speech, and some describe chapter 24 as his final sermon. So let's read from Joshua 23, verse 1. After a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges and officials, and said to them, "I am the Lord, I am old and well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the great sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations to this day. No one has been able to withstand you. One of you writes 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourself with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled, not one has failed. But just as every good promise of the Lord your God has come true, so the Lord will bring on you all the evil he has threatened, until he has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you." Amen. And may God bless that reading of his word to us. We're going to sing again now to God's praise, and we sing this time from Psalm 78, and we'll sing from verses 4 to verse 7 as they're marked in the text. Psalm 78, verses 4 to verse 7, to God's praise in English. "We also will them not conceal from their posterity. To them the generation to come declare will we the praises of the Lord our God, and his almighty strength, the wondrous works that he hath done, we will show forth at length." Down to the end of verse 7. to God's praise. We'll stand to sing.
Attend my... Sorry. Verse 4. Okay. We also will them not conceal from their posterity them to the generation to come declare will we the praises of the Lord our God and His almighty strength, the wondrous works that He hath done, we will show forth at length. His testimony and His law in Israel He did place, and charged our fathers hitherto to show to their succeeding race. That so the race which was to come might well then learn and know, and sons unborn who should arise might to their sons them show, that they might set their hope in God and suffer not to fall. His mighty works out of their might, but keep His precepts all.
Again, let's unite our hearts in prayer together. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that we can sing that psalm, and we thank You that we can say so many years after this psalm was penned that we will set our hope in God. We thank You for the passage that we've read, and for the closing speech of Joshua as he reaffirms the fact that he is able to set his hope on God. We thank You that every promise of God given to Joshua, going through the book, promises that go back through the generations to Moses and back to Abraham, every promise of God was proved in Joshua's experience to be true and dependable. And we thank You that as we look from Joshua onwards, from the Old Testament into the New Testament, we see the promise of salvation is a promise that was fulfilled in and through Christ. We thank You that the Old Testament points us forward to a Saviour who would save us from our sin. And we thank You for Jesus who came, the one who was the Messiah, the one who was the Word, God Himself made flesh, the image of the invisible God. We praise You for Jesus, and whose name we meet and in whose name we pray. We thank You that in Christ alone our hope is found. We confess, Lord, that we are hopeless sinners, and if we were to try and make an approach to You on the basis of who we are and what we try to do, we would have no means of entry into Your presence, because You are a God who is holy and who cannot look upon sin. But we thank You, Lord, that You have made it possible for us to come into Your presence. We thank You that Jesus came and lived and died for us. We thank You that on the cross His cry was a cry of forsakenness. a cry where he was conscious that the Father turned his face away from him. And Lord, we know that he turned his face away because of our sin. But we thank you, Lord, because of all that was transacted on that cross. We have hope. We thank you that if we are trusting in Christ tonight, we are assured that our sin was transferred to him in that moment. And his righteousness was given to us in grace. And so, Lord, we are able to come this evening in reverence, in humility, but with that courage and that confidence as we take hold of the promises of your word. So we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for our sins being forgiven in him. We thank you that we are clothed in his righteousness if we are trusting in him this evening. And we thank you that we have a hope, not just for today, but for tomorrow and for every tomorrow that you give us in time, and then for eternity. So enable each one of us, we pray, to take hold of Jesus in faith. Just as we thought of the woman this morning who took hold of the hem of the garment of Christ and received that cleansing, we pray that we, each one individually, Lord, that we would take hold of that forgiveness and that healing that is offered to us in Jesus. And Lord, that we would know his peace and his joy in our lives. We pray also, Lord, that you would enable us to be disciplined and enable us to be intentional day by day about taking the good news of Jesus and passing it on. We've sung there of how we have this duty to pass the hope that we have on from generation to generation. We thank you for all those who have made that possible. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to stand here this evening knowing the good news about Jesus Christ. We thank you for all those who have prayed for us, for all those who have shared the gospel message with us from the time that we were children. We thank you that we have been able to hear of Jesus. So we pray for our own children here. We ask, Lord, that you would bless them, that you would open their ears, that they would hear the voice of Jesus, that you would open their eyes, that they would see Jesus. And Lord, we ask that they would, by faith in their early days, remember Jesus and take hold of him. We bring them to you in prayer, those present with us, those absent from us also. We think of those who are here this morning, and we bring them to you. We ask that you would bless them. We pray for those who have been with us in months and years past, who no longer are with us at this time. Some who are in their homes and who are wayward in their thinking and their lives at this time. We know, Lord, that we are prone to wander, and we pray for them and ask that you would draw them back. And others, Lord, who are in different places but who are still following you. We think, Lord, of those of our number who are at the youth weekend this weekend, the conference where they're gathered. We think of Kyle and Rebecca. We think of William also, and perhaps others. And we ask, Lord, that they would know your blessing as they've come under your word. And we pray for all those who are away from home at this time, that you would guard them and protect them, help them to walk close with you. And we ask, Lord, for the youth fellowship we meet after this, Lord, that you would do a work through Stuart and through ENA and Peggy and all those who take part in the leadership. Lord God, that you would bless them and that you would use them and that you would enable them to make their calling and election sure in their early years. And we pray for all the young people in this community, those who go to other churches, those who go to no church. And we bring them to you, Lord, and ask that you would give us opportunities to tell them about Christ. So hear our prayers, take away our sin, and lead us and guide us as we look in faith to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. If you'll turn with me, please, now to Joshua chapter 23. And we'll quickly consider this passage tonight. I want to begin by asking you, if you're not in your retirement years, what are your retirement plans? Retirement is a thing that it seemed to be a question, an issue that was a million miles away from me in years gone by, but I'm conscious that there's hardly a week that passes now where I don't get some kind of a letter or policy or questionnaire or statement that says you need to be seriously thinking about what you are going to do and how you're going to live and how you're going to survive and how much money you're going to have in your pocket when you retire. So I'm having this pressed upon me often these days. Of course, I might never see retirement. We don't know how long we have in this world. None of us know how long we'll be here. But retirement and how we'll spend it is something that we need to think about as time passes. And the first point for this evening is simply that, it's retirement. In Joshua 23... we find Joshua in his, you could say, in his retirement. He's had a busy, he's had an illustrious career. He has been serving God for many years, for many decades actually now. He's been leading the Lord's people as he was commissioned to take over from Moses and to lead them over the Jordan and into the Promised Land. That's what God called him to do, and that's what he did. The Lord equipped him for the work that he called him to. And Joshua, in God's strength, he led these people and he took them over the Jordan and he took them into the Promised Land where they were now enjoying a measure of rest. So what's Joshua up to now? Is he taking up golf? Is he beginning to learn the art of carpet bowling? Is he out fly fishing on the river? Is he on a bus tour of Europe, as we see our retired people tending to do? Well, we're not given the details of Joshua's daily routine. But we know that in his retirement years, he's probably about 90 now, the commentators think. There's probably about 20 to 30 years between Joshua 22 and Joshua 23. So Joshua, you want to think of someone in your mind, he's around about 90 years of old. And although we don't have the details of his daily routine, we know that he's still walking close with the Lord. In his retirement years, he's still walking close with the Lord. He's still alert. He's still serving the Lord. He's still pointing the people that he loved to the Lord that he was still close with. Look at verse 1. After a long time had passed, and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then old and well advanced in years, summoned all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, I am old and well advanced in years. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord who fought for you. And even as we listen to the opening lines of Joshua's speech, his closing speech in his retirement years, there's such huge encouragement for us to keep on keeping on. Some people are great starters. When they see a work that God is calling them to, they see it, they get excited about it, they take hold of it, and they start with huge enthusiasm and pace. But when things get difficult, they kind of quickly lose enthusiasm and drive to keep on plodding on. Not Joshua. He's had many trials, many tribulations, many difficulties, many battles. But here he is, in his golden years. And he still has the same motivation. He still has the same zeal. He's still doing what he can. He's a great example old and well advanced in years by his own admission, but he's still keeping on, keeping on. He's enjoying rest, as it says in verse 1, but he hasn't gone to sleep. Like Caleb, who we studied in Joshua 14. Remember Caleb? He's in his mid-80s. He's not ready to draw his pension. He's still looking to draw a sword for the Lord's cause. He's still full of zeal, and so is Joshua. And I think we can be thankful here for many like that. Certainly I'm thankful in the congregation here as I look around. And we see men and we see women who are well advanced in years. I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying that. But they're still following the Lord closely. They're still spiritually alert and bright. They're still keeping on. And we can be encouraged through them. And those who I'm speaking of can be encouraged in these years to keep on keeping on, because the devil never stops having a go at us. We have to keep on going to the end. So there's Joshua in his retirement, in his climactic years, and he's still keeping on, keeping on. And in verses 2 and 3, we hear him as he summons all the chiefs, and they listen, and they respond. When Joshua summons all Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, they don't hear the message and say, well, do we really have to go to this meeting? I mean, what does old Joshua know? I mean, he's an old man now. We're the people who are sharp. We're the people who have the power and the strength. No, when Joshua speaks, they drop everything. They listen. They give him respect. And that's a practical point and application as well. In an age where respect is lacking, in an age where we tend to listen to youth much more than we listen to experience, let's not be led by the culture. Let's be led by God's word. So remember to respect, to honour those who are our elders as they keep on pointing us to the Lord, as Joshua was. So there's retirement, but it's not an inactive, ineffective retirement. It's a very active, it's a very effective retirement. Joshua is still full of life spiritually. Second point here is reassurance. As he speaks to Israel, he gives them reassurance. Look at verse 4. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the land of the nations that remain the nations. I conquered between the Jordan and the great sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. He gives them reassurance. He summons them. And as they're gathered and as they listen, Joshua, he spurs them on, but he gives them reassurance in doing so. One of the things that we tend to do more as we get on in years is as we look back. I'm starting to hear myself doing it. You look back and you think about some of the old days. You share memories. You share experiences. You drive through Sky, as Mary and I did a few weeks ago. My mind goes back 30, 40 years almost now. And we do that as the years go on. We look back, but we also look forward, because we want those whom we love, who are around us and who will likely outlive us, we want them to live well. And after we're gone, we want them to persevere and to stay on the track. And that's Joshua's desire. He wants God's people to keep on the highway. He knows that he's going the way of the earth. He knows he's coming to the end of his life. He sees these people that he's loved and he's served, and he wants them to keep on keeping on as he was. Wearsby, the commentator, writes this: at the end of a long and full life, Joshua's greatest concern wasn't himself. His greatest concern was his people and their relationship with God. He didn't want to leave until he had challenged them one more time to love the Lord and to keep his commandments. And that's what he's doing here. He's desperate that they will not neglect their relationship with God. He's so full of zeal that they will not drift into disobedience. He wants them to stay on the highway. He wants, after he has reached the destination of heaven, to know that they are still on the road. And so he encourages them in that, and he assures them of God's help as long as they continue on that path. He reminds them in verse 4 of how God helped them in the past. He looks back and he says, remember all that God has done for us. Don't forget that. And having looked back and said, remember, he reassures them that the promises that God gave to them in the past, the promises that they had held on to in the past, were still promises that were good for the future. So he says, take hold of them as you're going forward. Dale Ralph Davis says, such is, of course, the plain logic of faith. Here is the consistent biblical pattern. Israel's confidence and assurance springs from remembering God's faithful words and deeds in the past. So that's what we find Joshua doing in this speech. He's saying, remember Jericho. Remember what God did for us. Remember the Jordan, how impossible it was to pass, and how God took us over without even getting our socks wet. Remember these things, he says. Remember all these unlikely victories when it looked like the giants in front of us were absolutely undefeatable, and how God took us through it all. And then he reassures them that the God who was with them, who was with Joshua, would be with them once Joshua was gone. As they looked back in thankfulness, they were able to look forward with hope. We sat at the Lord's table last weekend. What do we do there? Well, we look back, don't we? We look back and we remember all that the Lord has done for us. His body broken for us. His blood shed for us. Through which we are rescued. Through which we are saved. We look back to that event. We look back to remember the Lord's death. But the table is a place where also we're called to look forward, because each time we do it, we're reminded of the fact that we do it only until he comes. So we're looking forward to his coming. And as we look these ways, as we remember God's work, as we remember his promises, we're given reassurance for the future. We sang about that. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. What are we doing as we sing that? We're looking back. But then, having looked back and seen the faithfulness of God, we can then look forward and we can sing, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living. Just because he lives. It's a hymn of great reassurance as we look to the future. And maybe there's somebody here tonight and they need that reassurance. Maybe some of us find that at 2:30 in the morning, we're still awake in our beds. We have worries that are keeping us up. Now, where are our worries usually located? They're in the future. We need not worry about the future, says Joshua, if we're trusting in God. Remember, the God who promised to be with Moses, the God who promised to be with Joshua, is the God who promises that he will never leave us, but he will be with us always to the end of the age. So there's Joshua's retirement, and then there is this reassurance that comes through Joshua's speech. The third thing we see here again in the words that Joshua shares with these people is there's an emphasis on repentance. Joshua teaches them about that need to constantly be repenting. What is repentance? Well, for the boys and girls who are here, when you hear the word repentance, repentance is a big word, but it simply means to turn around. You might be walking one direction, but if you repent, you stop and you turn around and you change direction. And we repent when we first hear the call of Jesus, who calls us to turn away from sin and turn to him in faith. The second that we believe, the second that we become Christians, it is when we repent. But then once we've repented, it's not a one-off act. It's something that we do day by day by day by day. Every day we are in time, we are constantly hearing the call of Jesus to keep turning away from sin and to keep following him. Martin Luther, I've given you this quote before, says, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said repent, he intended that the entire life of believers should be repentance. All of the Christian life is repentance, turning from sin and trusting in the good news that Jesus saves sinners aren't merely a one-time inaugural experience, but the daily substance of Christianity. The gospel is for every day and every moment. Repentance is to be the Christian's continual posture. And that's what Joshua is reminding them of here. They need to keep turning from sin. They need to keep on turning constantly to God. From Joshua chapter 1, there's the reassurance in the promises that God gives that he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. But the reality is, if we're honest, we are people who are prone to leave him and to forsake him. And as he shows us that, we're called to repent of that and to turn back to him. So that's what Joshua's pressing on them here. Verse 6, be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now, this is not a speech which is concerned about nations not mixing with other nations because of skin colour and culture. This is about the gods of foreign nations that were being forced into the experience of God's people. There is only one true God. And he was speaking to them through Joshua. And he was saying, keep turning to me. Keep listening to me. Keep living as I call you to. Keep obeying me, verse 6. Why? Well, he's saying to Joshua, because I love you. And because I made you, and I made you for myself, and I know what's best for you. So the Lord is saying to Joshua, don't turn to the right or to the left, verse 6. Don't be led astray by other nations with their fake gods, verse 7. Don't wander from me. But hold fast to me, verse 8. Remember how I have looked after you in the past, says the Lord, verses 9 to 11. Stick with me, and I'll look after you, and I'll bless you in the future. But verses 12 and 13, the Lord says to Joshua, if you turn away from me, you can be sure you're going to be into all kinds of trouble. That was God's word to them through Joshua, and that remains God's word to us through Joshua. And if we're scratching our heads thinking, well, how does this relate to us? Well, it's not so much about foreign nations. The gospel is for all nations. In heaven there will be every tongue, every tribe. But Joshua speaks about idols. We still struggle with idols, don't we? We still struggle with things and pursuits and people and relationships and commitments that draw us away from God and the centre of his will and cause us to veer off to the left and veer off to the right. So there's a word for us here about not having idols, not allowing them to take hold of us. And there's a word for you and I here about obedience, because we still struggle every day. But if we want to walk with the Lord, if we want to know his blessing, that the message to this speech is we're to keep repenting. Every day, every hour, our continual posture is to be one of repentance, where we are turning away from idols, we are turning away from sin, and we are turning constantly in obedience back to the God who loves us and whose word we can trust. Two more points, but no more time. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this passage, and we thank you for Joshua, your servant. We thank you that he is a character that we can look at in history. We thank you that he is one whom you took hold of and whom you commissioned to lead your people into the promised land. And we thank you that as you equipped him, that he was enabled to do that. We thank you that he did that through the years of his life, the years when he was strong and young, and the years when he was old and coming towards the end of life. We thank you that he's still here in this passage, so much a man who's filled with zeal, and determination and commitment to follow the Lord. And we ask that you would help us, even as we see his example, to follow it. We ask, Lord, that you would help us day by day to be repenting of the sin that grieves you. We pray that day by day we would be casting the idols that we allow to come into our lives off the throne, in order, Lord, that you would have full reign over us. So help us, Lord, we pray, as we look to this passage. Help us, we pray, to take hold of these promises which are still good, which are still for us. And help us, we pray, to look to Jesus, to trust him, and to follow him. We thank you that he went to a cross to pay the price for our waywardness. We thank you that he lived that perfect life of obedience that none of us could live. We thank you that he did everything to make it possible for us to enter into the promised land that he has prepared for all who love and who trust him. So enable us, we pray, to trust the Lord Jesus. Enable us, we pray, to day by day show our love for the Lord Jesus by seeking to live in a way that pleases him. We ask, Lord, that you would sanctify us, that you would make us more and more like Christ, and Lord, that you would use us to bring glory to your name. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll sing to conclude Mission Praise 1164. 1164. Come, O fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing your grace. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.